Kia ora, welcome to the Arise Church podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. Right now, we're going to hear from Hudson Bond, our national teaching pastor. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So I'll start with a couple of easy questions. I'm not trying to catch you out. I'm just asking questions. And so you are able to put your hand up and respond to these questions, okay? So first question this morning, who has some faith in this room this morning? Give me a show of hands. Okay, that's most hands going up, all right? Who has perfect faith this morning? Good, I saw a few hands. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool this morning. Who here has wrestled with doubt at some point in the last few months? Yeah, good. Who here would like more faith? Good. It's good to get you guys engaged, those hands going up. I'm going to pause and pray, and then we're going to read from Mark 9, a little story in Mark 9. It's really interesting when you... When I'm speaking, I find people might say something to you as they come in the door, or you meet people and say, oh, I mean, you know, go well this morning. I hope it all goes well. But what I want you to do is turn to your neighbor, because what I've realized is actually more about what's more important is the condition of your heart rather than the words that I say. And so why don't you turn to your neighbor now, and why don't you ask them, are you ready? Come on, get ready. Give them a little nudge, because Jesus says the condition of our soil is more important, okay, than necessarily what Hudson says this morning, as long as you're ready to receive, miracles can happen. So let me pray, and then we'll read Mark 9. Father, thank you so much that we can gather in freedom in this country and stand and lift our hands and worship you. We invite your presence in this place. God, I pray that you would speak, you would change hearts and lives today in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to read from Mark 9, verse 14, the story of Jesus healing a demon-possessed boy. And when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were there arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to meet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son to you. Well, so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. He foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus said to them, Oh, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus says, What do you mean if I can? And Jesus asked, Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father cried instantly, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief. And then just to complete the story with the next verse, Jesus saw the crowd. He rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said, I command you in the name to come out of this child and never enter him again. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Amazing story there, right in the middle of Mark. I think we can all identify with this father and that statement that he made. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. See, this father, the child's father, is on a journey of faith. I think that's important that we recognize him. And just like him, all of us here this morning, we're all on a journey of faith. The faith that you have now is not the limit of what faith you may have in the future. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. More faith can come your way. You're not limited to the faith you have now. And here we see a father on a faith journey. And remember, the end goal of the journey is Jesus. who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. A Catholic theologian called Benedict Groeschel says this about the entirety of the Christian journey. He sums it up in this statement. It is a decrease in fear and an increase in faith. As he summarizes the Christian journey in that sentence, to decrease in fear and to increase in your faith. So you're on a journey this morning. You're on a journey. And this journey is a gradual shift from fear and anxiety towards peace and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the journey that we're all on. See, because anxiety is where you worry about stuff all the time. In fact, you try and micromanage your life in such a way that it all plays out and you can control everything, whereas faith is a deep, genuine peace and trust in God. And I really like the song we sang. In fact, we'll sing it towards the end. I trust in God. And he heard and he answered, but I trust in God. Let me say that again. Anxiety is where you worry about stuff all the time. In fact, you try and micromanage everything in your life so that it all works out. But faith is a deep, genuine peace and trust in the goodness of our God. So what is faith this morning? Well, we've read the passage there. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But according to 2 Corinthians 5, the opposite of faith is not more knowledge. The opposite of faith is sight. So put that verse up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's 6 and 7. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? We walk by faith. I don't see it, but I believe it. I can't touch it yet, but I know that it's true. Got another quote for you here by a guy called Elton Trueblood. He said this, faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. Faith is not belief without proof. It's trust without reservation. It's giving your heart to the one you trust in. There's a guy called Leslie Newbegin, and his books are amazing. He was a British priest who went to India for 40 years as a missionary. And he came back after 40 years in India to England and started writing books about this transition in what he saw. And he wrote a powerful book called Proper Confidence. He says, talking about what Christians should be confident in. And he challenges us, he challenges me in this book, he challenges all of us here today to move beyond a search for absolute certainty to instead embrace faith that is bold, humble, and alive in the Spirit, and it's relational. He said this, faith is not certainty. It is confidence in Christ. Faith is not certainty. It is confidence in Christ. Let's be honest. Sometimes I think faith, I think all of us think that faith means that we have all the answers. We never doubt. We never struggle because I'm a man of faith. But the reality is, okay, that's what Leslie Newbegin says, is that is not faith. That's certainty. And certainty is not what Jesus calls us to. Jesus calls us to have faith in him. The example of Abraham, who is called to leave his homeland to go into a city that would to find a new land for God's people. He doesn't receive certainty, but he has a promise. He has a word. He has a relationship with the one who's sending him. And in faith, He steps out on this journey, not knowing where he's going to end up. Beautiful picture of faith right there. And Abraham's faith is shown in his willingness to act on God's word, despite not seeing the outcome in advance. He's willing to step out and go. And so, good news for everyone here. If you have ever doubted, if you have ever wrestled, if you have ever questioned God, you're in the company of the saints. Don't discount yourself. Oh, well, I don't have faith like Ben. I don't have faith like Shannon. You're in the company of Abraham and Noah and Moses, men who had doubts but still walked towards the one they believed in. Walk towards God. You're on a journey of faith. The faith you have now is not your portion that you will have forever. You can walk towards the one who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Faith is following Jesus with confidence, not waiting until every doubt is gone. I'll say that again. Faith is following Jesus with confidence, not waiting until every doubt is gone. And I think we're going to put this quote on the screen. Faith is not the absence of doubt, but the courage to trust and to act despite the doubt. Despite that doubt, it's the courage to trust. So this morning, that's kind of the sort of the introduction, but I want to talk this morning briefly now about three levels of faith. Three levels of faith, and going to help us sort of understand, I think, what faith is, but also what is this sort of this summit, this journey that I'm on, because none of us are there yet. We're on a journey towards this more perfect faith in Jesus Christ. Because I sometimes find that faith is treated in the Christian circles, faith is treated as a way to get things from God. I think we do that sometimes. We use faith as a formula to get things from God. If I tithe, he will bless me. If I put my trust in Jesus, if I pray this prayer, he will let me into heaven. We are using our faith to get things from the Father, and we can fall into this trap of using faith as an equation. If I, then God will. Okay? Now, there's truth there and there's biblical principles. I'm not washing over those, but let me go somewhere with this thought, okay? Unchecked, unhindered, allowing our carnal human desires to jump into that equation setting, okay? That sort of behavior can become a way to engineer my life around me getting. I'm not engineering my life around him. I'm focused on what I can get from this relationship, not the one who has given me the faith in the first place. And that can become just another attempt by humans to minimize my pain and to maximize my pleasure, to get what I want. That is not the essence of faith. That's not why you have faith. Because at some point, living with your faith as a formula to get something will let you down. At some point, that formula will fail. Okay? A crisis will come. A challenge will arrive on your doorstep. And God will not rescue you like you thought he was going to rescue you. Good morning, everybody. Well, you will work hard, like it says in Proverbs, but you will not get wealthy. Jesus said this would happen. I don't know why we're so surprised when it does from time to time, but there will be hard times. You will go through challenges, struggles, strife, and issues in your life. So when you find yourself in the midst of the crisis, when you find yourself shaking and everything around you is happening, okay, you have three options. And this is the thought for today. three things that you can do as a faith response to the crisis that you are in. Option, you can step back from what is going on. You can step aside from what is happening, or you can step up. Let's say those together. You can, see everyone say, step back, step aside, or step up. Step back, step aside, or step up. And if you're writing notes, and why wouldn't you be, you can write those down. Option number one, in the crisis, when things are going wrong, option number one for many people is to step back. To step back from what is happening. And I think this is one reason why many people never mature past level one faith. Because in the trial, they step back. Jesus said, when trial or persecution come, they fall away. We're jumping straight into Matthew 13. We'll put it on the screen. Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21. I'm just going to spin around and read that. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And the moment that the formula doesn't work, the moment Jesus doesn't do what you think he should do, or he doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, it's all over. And one of the first response, the first option is it's all over and I step back. I step away. I fall, as Jesus said in the parable of the sower there. And as I've been thinking about that this week, I think it's because they didn't actually have faith in Jesus in the first place. They had just enough faith to get what they wanted from Jesus, but when the cosmic vending machine in the sky does not deliver the treat that you want, step back. Stupid vending machine. I put my quarter in there. That's a bit American. I put my $2 in there. I swiped my card. Where's the treat? Where's the blessing? Come on, I gave. Let me say that again. Some people, I don't think, have actual faith in Jesus. They had just enough faith to get what they wanted from Jesus. But when the cosmic vending machine does not deliver the treat they want, they step back. Question number one for you this morning. How to say this nicely. Is your faith in him based entirely on what he can give you? Ask yourself that question. Is my faith in Jesus based entirely on the treats that he can give me? Option number two, when you're in the trial, when you're in the challenge, when life's not so rosy. Option number one, step, that's too much. I fall away. I don't engage, I don't go to church or whatever that looks like, you fall away. Option number two is to step aside. To step aside. And this is where you step aside and compartmentalize your faith. You put Jesus over here in the box, but you live over here. We have stepped aside in our faith. We have compartmentalized Jesus. That is Jesus. That's the portion of my life where I do Jesus-y things. Sunday morning, maybe a life group, different parts of the month, maybe. I compartmentalize and put Jesus over there. And I live with that gap. I go through my days with a gap, with the incoherence that is in that gap. I say I believe in him, but I'm living over here. I'm doing my thing. Incoherence is that word I just used, is when there is no logical connection between what you're believing and how you're living. when it doesn't make sense. And the human capacity for incoherence is staggering. In our Western culture, there is a lot of ideologies around, but one of them that's very strong in the world, has been for a while now, is what we call Darwinian materialism. The elite, the secular, the powerful, subscribe to this hugely in our Western culture. Let me define what that means. Basically, you believe in what Darwin proposed of survival of the fittest. I'll just flesh that out a little bit more. This thinking, this ideology holds that all life, including human beings and the human mind, arise solely by undirected natural processes described by Charles Darwin's theory, and that nothing else exists beyond the physical, what I can see and what I touch. Nothing exists beyond that. This view rejects the supernatural, it rejects the spiritual, it rejects any higher purpose in life. But the same group of people who say we came from monkeys and that it is all about survival of the fittest, the same group of people are jumping up and down, supporting environmental concerns, jumping up and down for justice in different areas of our culture and society. The incoherence between those two stances is unfathomable. That we come from nothing, I respond to nothing, I'm my own person, but oh, we've got to be concerned about this over here. The incoherence of that thought is crazy, but we live in the midst of that. Now, got off track a little bit there, but if you live like this, where you have compartmentalized Jesus and you've put him in the box and you live over here, A.W. Tozer says this about that lifestyle, about living incoherently like that, and we'll put this on the screen. He calls religion like that a dull habit, not a burning flame in your heart. If that's how you choose to live, yeah, Jesus is over here, but I'm here. He calls that a dull habit. That's what your life will end up. Church will become dull. Your faith, just lukewarm, dull. It just becomes a habit. It's just what I do. I've always done it. Instead of a burning flame in your heart. Come on. Who wants a burning flame in their heart? Come on. There should have been more hands go up than that. Second question this morning. Do you put Jesus in a box? Only you know. I can't tell from looking at you from outside. Amanda doesn't put Jesus in a box. Option number one, I step back. Option number two, I step aside. I compartmentalize my life, break it into pieces. Option number three, step up. Everyone say, step up. Yeah. This is the faith of surrender. At this level, you're no longer trusting God for a particular outcome. It's not about the treat anymore. You're not trusting God for that outcome. Your trust is in God Himself, regardless of what happens in your life. This is, I talked about the faith journey. This is where God is trying to get you to. We're all somewhere along this path, but God wants us there, just completely in love with Him, trusting Him, regardless of what is going on around us. So when that diagnosis comes, when your prayer is unanswered, when your plans fall through, when that relationship is over, you still got Him.
Yeah, that's right.
And you might be praying for that thing and you might be believing for this thing, but at the moment you haven't seen any of those things, but you've still got Him. Let's go back to Mark 9 because we haven't even hardly used this passage yet that I read at the beginning of the demon-possessed boy. Because the father here is at breaking point. His son is demon-possessed, doing crazy stuff. And all the village is talking about this family and that boy and by implication you, the father. He's exhausted. I imagine he has tried every option. He has no control over the situation. His son can be sitting there in his right mind one moment and the next minute screaming and yelling and throwing himself in the fire. Put yourself in his shoes for a moment. And the biblical principle of train up a child and when he is old, he will not depart from, that is not working in this situation. His only hope is Jesus. And so he goes to Jesus with, catch this, with weak but real faith. Weak but real faith. And he says this to Jesus, and we read it before, verse 22. We can put it on the screen, Mike. Verse 22, I'm going to read the last part of it. He says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Help us if you can. And I love Jesus' response. He says, what do you mean, if I can? And then I feel like Jesus is calling him to a higher level of faith with this next statement. He's giving this guy what he needs because he's on a journey of faith. And at the moment, he has very weak faith. But Jesus says to him, anything is possible if a person believes. And he's putting something in this guy's heart and spirit that is going to enable him to rise, to step up in his faith and his belief in Jesus Christ. He's calling, I think he's calling the man to believe in the power of God. And in this story, we see an amazing outcome where the boy gets healed and it's awesome, the power of God, amazing. But what if there wasn't a happy ending in the story? Let's flip the script here a little bit. We'll say the boy didn't get healed, that Jesus went on down the road and the man's like, what just happened? What if the story didn't have a happy outcome like we think we know it does? What if the story ended like Jesus's story? When in the garden, he prayed to the Father, take this cup from me, Lord, take this cup from me. And heaven was quiet. And just a few hours later on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And everything goes dark. See, church, there is an even higher level of faith than we have understood, I believe. The highest level of faith is the faith of surrender. But you just give yourself to God. You are no longer concerned about the outcome. The treat is not what has caught your heart anymore. It's the giver. The highest level of faith is the faith of surrender. And this is where you're not believing in Jesus for any particular outcome at all. You're just believing in Jesus. Remember, we're all on this faith journey and we're at various stages along this faith journey. But Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, stands and he calls us. And sometimes giving us the treat isn't what's good for us. Because we've got to get to another level of faith. It's like Jesus in the garden. Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's Job at the end of his story. My eyes have seen the Lord, and now I repent. And if you know the story of Job, you know what he's been through. It's the Christians in the lion's den who did not get saved. You know, most of the Christians that got thrown to the lions did not get saved. Some did. Read about them in Hebrews 11. But keep reading Hebrews 11, and some did not get saved. Who has more faith in that scenario? And it's the point where God is calling us to, where I have no more questions, Lord. I have no more demands. I'm just happy with you. And we need to sit with him in that place and just allow God's presence to fill our lives. Maybe we can just pause and have a moment of silence now before the team come up. We're in this atmosphere. You can just sit. Just orientate your heart towards him in a new way. We don't want anything apart from him. Mike, we'll put Philippians 1 on the screen. This is what Paul said. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. And this is the paradox, and we'll put this on the screen as well, I think, that as long as you need your life to go a certain way to be happy and at peace, you will never be happy and at peace. As long as you need that treat. Have we put that on the screen? We have. Nice. So maybe the team can come and give us a hand. We're going to sing and shortly one of those songs. We're going to do something a little bit different before we get there. But let me sum up this thinking and where I think we've got to on this journey. Are we all right this morning? That's good. Step up. Yep, we've all stepped back. We don't need a show of hands for that. We've all stepped back at times. And probably in times we've all stepped aside and compartmentalized our faith and had Jesus over there while I get on with my life over here. I challenge you to step up in your faith. This type of faith is higher than faith for miracles or for breakthrough. It is a deep, mature faith where you can say like Jesus, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. This faith is marked by a surrender to God's will and confidence in his goodness, just confidence in his goodness. It is the ability to trust God's character and to remain faithful. Whatever the outcome, knowing that God is with you and that it is enough. I want you to say that with me. Say, that is enough. It's the confidence to remain faithful, whatever the outcome, knowing that God is with you and that that fact alone is enough. Let's say that again together. Say, that is enough. Let's say it again, that is enough. And what I want to do now is in a moment, I'm going to get us all to stand and we're going to do something that's called a dayenu, which is a Hebrew way of responding to the goodness of God that it is enough who he is. And I'm going to read the first line and you guys are going to respond basically saying, that is enough. That is enough. And then off the back of that, we're going to go into a short this worship song. I invite you to step up. Literally, you're going to stand up in a moment. That's cool. So why don't we all stand this morning? So what we're doing now is called a dayenu, Hebrew word. It literally means it would have been enough. It's a traditional Jewish song sung at Passover. I've adapted it a little bit, make it a little bit more Pentecostal. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to say the first line, and then you're going to reply. Put the first one up, Mike. I'm going to say, if you, Jesus, had only called us to trust you, and you guys are going to say, it would have been enough. And then we'll roll on to the next one. Okay, we got that? So here we go. If you, Jesus, had only called us to trust you, if you had only shown us your love without end, if you had only laid down your life for our sins, if you had only risen to give us new life, if you had only promised to never leave us, if you had only given us peace in the storm, if you had only secured our place in your family, if you had only sealed us with your Spirit's power. Close your eyes for a moment and I'll finish it. But you had done all these things and more, Lord. And so we praise you, Jesus, our rock and refuge, our faith and security now and forevermore. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.